Welcome to Home Story with Veronica. I'm Veronica Dickes, and today we're diving into the people, places, and decisions that make a house a home. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to Home Story with Veronica, where real estate meets real life, and every property decision has a personal chapter behind it. I'm your host, Veronica Dickes, and today we are talking commercial real estate. We're going to switch it up a little bit because for business owners, the building isn't just an asset, it's operations, cash flow, and future flexibility. Joining me today is Julio Gomez. He is a relationship-first commercial real estate specialist with Keller Williams South Park here in Charlotte, North Carolina, serving clients in English and Spanish. He's also bilingual. And Julio, welcome. I'm so glad that you're part of the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's going to be an exciting talk.
Absolutely. Now, I am going to set the stakes fast. 2026 is giving owners mixed signals. Rates are still a headline factor for sure. Lenders are more selective, and pricing is sensitive to lease strength and cap rates. That means when to sell isn't a gut call. It's a timing plus math plus a strategy call. So Julio, when you walk a property with an owner, we're talking about commercial real estate, remember everybody, what are the three strongest signals that say it's time to sell? Don't wait.
So in this era, we want to look at the lease strength, right? The demand for the property and what's the owner strategy at the end of the day. Because if we have a long lease, normally that means is a stronger lease, which investors always love income.
Right.
So it creates a little bit more of a stability. And then we want to know what's the owner strategy. Is he looking to retire? Is he looking to invest? What's the plan behind it? Maybe he just wants to call it quits and move on with the business. So
you're saying that it all depends on what the goals are from the owner.
Absolutely.
As always. That's why a consultation is so important, right?
Yes. It's always good to have some type of advice.
Okay.
So like that, you can have a better guide on what to do next and what to step, which again, it could be blurry between the lines, so.
Definitely. Welcome to real estate.
Absolutely.
Now, Julio, how do you explain the market cycle to an owner who's busy running a business? So in plain English, but with real numbers behind it.
So when I'm talking to owners, I always explain that commercial real estate is just like a business cycle, right? We want to look at the income. What does the income look like? Because again, that brings strength to the transaction. And that's going to determine what exactly is that your next step is going to be. What's going to be the value of that property? How stable is it going to be? That's kind of what we're looking at first. So income is going to generate, obviously, a better cap rate at the end of the day.
Right.
So that's going to attract most of your investors. So now your investors are going to look at that and say, like, okay, if we have a longer lease, and this property normally is going to determine a better stable income.
True. Now, for those viewers who are watching who want to learn about commercial real estate, can you give them a definition of what cap rate is? Because we're going to talk about that a lot.
Yes. So cap rate is basically your rate of return. So how much income is that property producing you at the end of the day compared to the dollar amount that you're putting in? So let's say, for example, if you have a $100 investment, right? And then you have a cap rate of a 10%. So that means that you're yielding, you know, $10 a year from that property. So the higher the number, the better for investors.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yep. Now, how do you explain the market cycle to an owner who, well, actually, we went through that question already. So if interest rates stay higher for longer, what tends to move first? Buyer demand, cap rates, or pricing expectations? And how should owners prepare for that?
So normally the first thing that moves when interest rates go up is going to be your buyer demand.
Okay.
Right? So buyer demand is going to shrink because now it's going to cost more money to borrow money.
True.
Right? So now they're going to be a lot more picky on which investments they're going to do. And sometimes they may even going to have to go back on the strategy that they initially had and kind of look at it again and build a new one because now, again, it's going to cost them a little bit more than it was. So even from a selling perspective, the seller might have to adjust a little bit for those buyers because now what's the likelihood of them wanting to invest with such a higher rate, which at the end comes with a lower cap rate for them on their side.
Right. Because so the numbers, I mean, when you're looking at commercial, you got to balance out everything.
Yes.
You got to balance out what you're going to pay, but got to balance out what the cap rate is. So that's why it's so important. There you go. That's why it's so important to talk to somebody who is an expert in commercial, because I'm a real estate agent for residential and I know nothing of commercial. So
You know plenty.
But when you come for commercial, you definitely got to talk to somebody who specialized on that, because there's a lot of different factors to look at.
There's a lot of little small words in the paperwork that we don't understand. And it's hard to understand when you're not dealing with it on a daily basis. So it's nice to have a professional that's in the midst, that knows what's going on, what the market's looking like, what are the most appropriate investment strategy for you. Because again, business are like personalities.
Exactly.
And so at the end of the day, they can change from one side to another. So it's, what do we want out of
this? Bipolar. It's okay. Some of us are bipolar.
It's okay. We love them all.
We love them all. Yes. Now, fully leased versus leases nearing expiration. What is the smarter sales story right now? And what's the risk if the owner guesses wrong?
So we got to look at it from an investment perspective, right? We're not looking at this from an emotional side. At the end of the day, if you have a property that is fully leased, you have a more stable income, right? So for investor, they're going to love that, because now you're going to look at that and be like, okay, so if I have a 10, 15, 20, 50 year lease, now it's like, okay, it's a really strong investment and I can ensure the longevity of my income with this property, right? When if you have an expiring lease, now you got to take in consideration the cost that's going to actually attract getting those tenants in there. Right. So it's going to take a little bit more time to get the tenants in there. Maybe you're going to have to accommodate the area for that.
Yeah.
So that's where you got to look at what's your projection and what exactly that you're looking from that property. What's your outcome from that property?
OK. And I'm guessing, is it the same as residential, that when you buy a property that has a lease, the new owner has to respect that lease by law?
So not always.
OK. Oh, let's talk about that then.
Not always. So a little bit in commercial. So if it's stated in the contract that they must, then yes.
Okay.
You know, we have to always put that disclaimer, but naturally it's up to the new owner if they want to renew or not.
Okay.
But you got to keep in mind, if you do any action landlord related with that new client, then automatically that contract falls into place.
Okay. Gotcha. And everything is negotiable, right? Like they can go in and they can talk to the, but it's going to be more work if it's something that they have to take care of right away.
Yes.
If you're buying a property where the lease is about to expire.
Yes.
Or pretty soon. So.
And we got to keep in mind the likelihood of that being, it's very slim to none, because if you're buying a property, right, unless you're trying to operate it yourself, you want that tenant in there. And it's going to be a lot cheaper to already have the tenant in there and come in with a income producing property than coming in and saying, hey, I don't want you here. Then you're having to go out there and look for another tenant to make that, you know, cap rate.
Exactly. It's already established. You don't have to.
Yes. Unless you want to run your own business or anything like that in that property. Then
because you want to change it up, maybe you want to run all the thing and do something different.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, before an owner lists a commercial property for sale, what financial health check do you want in hand? So like the NOI, which is the net operating income, quality rent, roll risk, the expense recoveries, tenant concentration. What is it that you look at to make sure that it is healthy? How do you run your health check?
So I always look at the first thing, what's the story behind the income of that property, right? Do we have a clear picture on what that looks like? And do we have a good net operating income? What do the expenses look like? What are the lease terms too? Because again, that goes back to what we're saying. What's the guarantee of that income producing property? And these are the factors that you want to look. So if all of those things align, most likely now you have a healthy transaction.
Yeah.
But when things start getting blurry and you don't have a clean operating system, or you don't have a good NOI, then that's when things are, you got to double check and make sure that those numbers are aligning to make a good decision.
Because a person buying it is going to study all of that, and they're going to make sure that it is healthy for them to buy it otherwise.
And at the end of the day, it helps both sides, because let's say, for example, if you don't have a healthy financial plan, then you might be leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
Because now you're not
representing the value.
You're not representing the income producing that, the potential that has that property. So now you could be shooting yourself in the foot.
Exactly. You're so, taking away money from your own pocket by not presenting it
appropriately.
Yeah.
Correct. So you always want to make sure that your financials are aligned with the goal and how you're presenting that property for sure.
Perfect. And is that something that you make sure that, I think one of the things that is a takeaway for me is if you own a property and it is a commercial business and you want to sell it, you have to be organized.
Yes.
You have to have all your ducks in a row. You have to have all of your paperwork. You have to have all of your numbers. You can't just guess these numbers.
Correct. Correct. You want to be able to show proof to why you're asking for, you know, a cap rate. And the higher the cap rate, the most expensive you could sell the property. And this is something pretty cool about commercial compared to residential. Depending on that cap rate that property is producing, it's going to be the price on the property.
Right. Yep. Because it's all based on how much money can I make with this property.
Yes. With residential, you're looking at, okay, what's the value of the real estate?
Totally different. Yes.
Right. Here, we're income producing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have all your ducks in the line, as you said, and you don't know how your financials look, then how can you present it to an investor?
Exactly.
How can you prove to them that it's actually going to be a, you know, 6.5, 7, or even 8 sometimes cap rate?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why it's so important. Yes. Again, the presentation that a commercial real estate agent is going to present to those possible investors and buyers is going to be really important because we know what they're looking for.
Correct.
We know what numbers they want. So if you don't have them, I'm not the most organized with numbers, right? For my clients, I am. It's weird. But for myself, it's a whole different story. So that's why it's so important to have somebody really, you know, guide you and put everything together and present it the way it should be presented so you can get the maximum profit, which is what everybody wants in real estate, no matter the transaction. I love that. Now, coming up next, we are going to talk about the hidden value, the profit most owners don't realize they are sitting on. So stay with us. We're going to be right back. Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. Do you want more of what you're watching? You can stay connected to the show and every Now Media TV favorite live or on demand anytime you want. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and you can unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Espanol. If you're on the move, catch the podcast version at nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back. I am here with Julio Gomez. And now we are shifting from when to sell to how to sell smart, because sometimes the best move isn't selling today. It's unlocking value first and then listing the market and then actually letting the market pay you for it. So this is about preparing your commercial property or your commercial real estate investment to sell it at the right time. So I'm going to frame it like this. Value isn't just location. In 2026, buyers are underwriting hard. Stability of income, expense controls. I cannot talk today. Can we do this in Spanish today? Underwriting, again, stability of income, expense controls, and realistic upside. Owners who know what levers to pull, zoning, tenant mix, repositioning, expense recoveries, can change the price conversation dramatically. This is where the brains come in. Now, what are the most hidden values levers that you find in every commercial building? So the stuff owners overlook because they are focused on operations.
So sometimes there's simple as king, right? So even just when you're looking for good positioning in the property, just finding how to position it to the current market, and then just doing, you know, some simple improvements.
Okay.
To actually make it stand out. Sometimes you'll have buildings that just sit in the same aspect where it doesn't bring that new catering. And also, as well, you got to adapt to the community that's coming to it.
Yeah.
Because every year we have a new pool of people moving into the area. So maybe you have outdated that time. So now it's time to bring something more fresh, which, again, appearance is all, right?
Yeah.
First impressions.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So You want to have that first impression, improvement, see where you could better it. And sometimes these are things that you're not going to see a return on income immediately, but it'll secure you for the next coming years, right? Now, it might not be an immediate return, but right. In the future, it'll pay off and sell, right? So yeah. That's something that we always want to plan out as well.
Absolutely. And I can be a witness to that because here at the office, you know, the leadership team was looking for to move into another building. And one of the reasons why we didn't move to any other buildings and started, you know, redoing the entire office is because the look wasn't there.
Yeah.
We went to see a couple of buildings and it was just first impressions, right? Yeah. We want our clients to walk in and be wowed by Keller Williams South Park. And those buildings were just not it. So if they were to renovate or do something to them, that would have been a different conversation.
Correct. It's like when we walk into a restaurant, right?
Yes.
It's like the first 10 seconds you're in there, you have already made a decision if you like the place or not.
Yes.
Then after that, you're just wishing that the service meets the expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a nice restaurant, you look at your surroundings, you see the music, the ambience, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yep.
Then the next thing, so you sit down, I'm like, I hope my waiter is perfect.
And I hope the food is perfect too. And if the bathroom is dirty, yes. Run.
Right. So yes. It's the same thing when it comes to commercial.
Yeah.
Right? Because you walk into a plaza, right? If you see the parking lot full of trash, then it tells you what type of neighborhood you could be in, right?
Exactly.
And the same thing if you come into a place where it's clean, it's neat, everything in this place, fresh paint is more appealing.
Absolutely.
You want to come back.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Good points. Now, zoning changes and entitlements. What's the first question that you ask to see if a property has a bonus future the market hasn't priced in yet?
So that comes back to what we were just saying, right? Allocating properly. And so let's say, for example, the city is expanding. So you might have a future investment here with this property, especially if you can find out if they could be rezoned for something with a better use.
I've heard about that a lot.
Yes.
Rezoning.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, if you have a like they do now with the breweries where you have like an industrial type of building, but now you made it into a mixed use where you could put like retail and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the income is going to generate a lot more income because of the diversity of businesses that you can allocate there.
Yep.
So if you're looking at how the city is expanding and you're owning one of these businesses, it might be the time to sell or maybe readjust the use of the property. Now, instead of it having an industrial use, maybe you can make it into a brewery or a plaza or like they did here with the, the City Hall, the
Camp North End or Optimist Hall or
Optimist
one of them.
Hall. Yes.
That place is so cool.
It's so cool.
Yes.
Right. So that was a switch of LFUs there that happened. No? So you want to make it sure that the zoning that you're in know what's happening in the city.
Yep.
Because you might be sitting in a gold mine and you don't know it.
Especially with cities like Charlotte, that, you know, everybody's looking for the old mill or the old building that they can turn into a bunch of retail and restaurant spots and breweries. And and it's cool. It is cool.
There's
a cool factor.
I love it. I love the breweries here. You go out, especially in the summertime, where you get to sit outside, have a nice beer with, you know, good ambience, good people, good music.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So study your zoning and consult with an expert so that they can look at it. Because what happens? Oh my gosh, I would be so mad. So if I had a building and I sell it and then whoever bought it changes the zoning and now it's worth 2-3 times more just because of the zoning change and I didn't even think about that.
Yes. And again, it goes back to studying what you have.
Yeah.
And that's what we do, right? We'll go and assess the property, see what best use is, what's going on, what's happening in the area. Because the true is the same as well, where if you do the wrong zoning or you're not leveraging the use that you could have for that property, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, if an owner has limited budget, what improvements typically create the biggest return of investment? Is it like a facade, curb appeal, parking, signage, the HVAC, or anything else?
I think a little bit of all of those.
Okay.
Again, first appearance,
right?
It's the expectation of what people are having. So if you walk in and, you know, you have an outdated sign, most likely not. What that's telling about your business is that it's not updated, right? The same thing with the parking spot. Just having, you know, fresh signs, paint, all of those little details means that you're staying on top of it. And again, these are things that is not going to monetize you immediately, right, but it's going to attract that client, that new client into you. So definitely signage, definitely parking lots. Those are things that are going to improve. And in the inside, just little things that you could do, paint in the business that makes it stand out and fresh, especially catering to whatever industry you're in. Those are key points. Those are key points.
I love that. And now that we were talking about like your breweries and everything, hire a local artist and have them do a mural. I mean, that is so in right now. It is ridiculous. So I have a friend who does them. So
that's awesome.
I love that. Now let's talk about tenant mix. How can a small shift, so one upgraded anchor tenant, change buyer confidence and valuation?
So one of the biggest things that we see a lot too is you want to be around an area that makes sense for you.
Okay.
Right? So to describe a little bit, anchor tenant. Basically, your anchor tenant could be like a Harris Theater, right? Your Food Lion.
Okay.
Those are going to be your anchor tenants in the whole plaza. And then you have like the small spas on the side, the Chinese food.
Okay.
You know, so if depending on the industry that you're in and the type of business that you're in, you want to know that it's matching with the anchor tenant that you have there, right?
Okay.
And it's, if it's not like overpassing the right of use, because let's say, for example, most likely Harris Theater is not going to allow you to put a smoke shop.
Right.
Because they sell cigarettes.
Right.
Right. So allocating your industry, your business in the right place, that has a lot to do with that.
So it's like the Weight Watchers and the donut shop right next to it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then the plastic surgery right next. Anyways, I digress. Yes. That makes sense. I've never thought about it that way.
Yes. So that's why when you walk into these plazas, you never see like smoke shops on the side, or you never see more than one Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Because they always try to reserve the not compete.
Exactly. Okay.
Because it wouldn't make sense for them. If you're pulling one bulk of people into that plaza and then you're giving them two options, then one of them is eventually not going to be
taking away business from the other one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Now, when you are hunting undervalued opportunities, what do you look for first?
So the first thing that we're going to look at when it's an undervalued is, let's say, for example, for a lease, what's the usage percentage?
Okay.
Right? Like, why is it undervalued? Why? What's the purpose? Is it because it's the expenses are too high? So what's our ROI? Like, if you have a tenancy, let's say you have, you know, an apartment complex and you have 100, you know, apartments, but then only 25 of them are, or 75% of them are being leased. What's happening with that extra 25?
Right.
Why is it not being leased? Is that property not updated? Why are people leaving? So that's one of the first concerns that I would have if we're seeing that.
One of the major factors?
Yes.
So if people want to consult with you, Julio, if a business owner wants you to do a quick value map of their property just to see, you know, what levers they have, what is the best step for them to connect with you through Keller Williams South Park or with you directly?
So the easiest way to connect for me, just give me a call.
Okay.
Give me a call or send me a text message. Let's have the conversation.
What's the phone number?
You can reach me at 980-800-3891. I'm very personable, Veronica.
I vouch for that.
For me is, let's get on the phone.
Yep.
Let's see if it makes sense. Let's build a relationship. Let's see if we want to do business together, because that's important to all of us.
Absolutely.
Right? Let's see if what I can provide to you actually makes sense for what you're looking. You know, it'll take a 5-minute conversation, see where you are. Again, we can guide you, even if you do business with us or not. Our main purpose is to help you. And guide
Do that free first consultation to figure out if there's any advice, if it's a fit, and then you pretty much go from there.
Yeah.
Just like any business consultation, really.
Yes.
Yeah, so give him a call again. What's the phone number?
That's 980-800-3891.
Spanish and Español. Él también habla Español.
Sí, claro que sí.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. And now we are going to be talking leasing. because as a lease is not just paperwork. It is the operating system of the building. And one bad clause can turn a good deal into a financial headache or disaster. So I'm going to keep this practical. Tenants want predictability. Landlords want to be protected, and they want to protect their net operating income or NOI. In today's market, clarity wins, especially on expenses. So TI, which is tenant improvement, I'm learning all those new terms, renewal options, and exit language. Now, Julio, what is the number one mistake that tenants make when they sign a commercial lease? The thing that they don't notice until month three.
So I would say is looking beyond your base rent.
Okay, explain that.
So what's after the base rent? Like normally we go into a lease and we think, okay, I'm gonna pay $1,000 and that's it. Well, not in every case. We have several different type of lease agreements, right? So let's say for example, one of the most common things that are bypassed is what we call TICAM.
What is TICAM?
So we have TI, which is tax and insurance, and CAM is common area and maintenance.
Okay.
Right? So let's say, for example, and I'll break that down a little bit, right?
Yes, please.
So the TI is simple, taxes and insurance.
Okay.
Then you have your CAM, which is your common area. So let's say, for example, you have a condominium, right? And your building is on the, or your suite is on the second floor. So you have elevators, mm-hmm. you have all your walkways, you have parking space. How do you get taxed for all those things? Or how about the maintenance? How do you split those things, right? So now that's where the CAM comes in. So depending on the size of the building that you're utilizing, it's going to be a percentage of the maintenance that you got to take care of, which it belongs to you.
Okay.
And that comes attached in the lease. So when you have your base rent, let's say $1,000, you have a tie cam of $150. That means your total monthly rent will be $11,500, right?
Okay.
So, but that $150 is going to go to your taxes, your insurance, and then your common area and maintenance.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, read the fine print.
Yes. Or hire somebody that can guide you, most importantly. Again, like it took me some time to learn all of this.
Of course.
But you must, especially when it comes down to negotiating.
Yes.
Which I think we're going to touch a little bit on that. It's going to be pretty exciting on how we can actually leverage these things too.
Okay. Do you want to just go for that?
So,
or do you want me to, let's stick to the stick?
Yeah,
okay.
Stick, all right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in what he's going to say. That's why I was like.
there's other stuff there that I really want to touch on. It's pretty interesting. So okay. I don't want to skip over that.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Now let's talk triple net versus gross. What is the simplest way to explain the difference and what hidden costs should tenants watch for in NNN, which is triple net lease, a commercial real estate agreement where tenants pay base rent plus all the primary property expenses, property taxes, building insurance, and CAM, which is common area maintenance.
There you go. So that falls right into it. I think I got so excited that I jumped into
second, I love it.
The following subject. So yes, you have your basically your gross lease, where that's where you come in, you pay mostly a base rent, and the owner or the landlord in this case is responsible for paying the majority of the expenses.
Okay.
Where now he's the one paying the taxes, he's the one paying the insurance potentially. This is all negotiable, obviously, and how the terms are. And then the common area and maintenance. That's why, let's say, for example, in our building, we have a gross lease.
Okay.
We paid a set amount, and they come and fix everything that breaks down.
Okay.
That's a simple way. Now, this is the one that investors like the most, which is your triple net, because it's a set and forget.
Right.
With your triple net, you have your tenants pay for everything. And that's where is the TICAM, right? So they're responsible for paying the property taxes, the insurance, and then common area and maintenance. So at the end of the day, they're profiting everything that the base rent is for the most part. They don't have to worry about anything, right?
Be my type of lease.
Right?
As a landlord.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why investors are very attracted to this type of lease, because it's a set and forget. They're responsible for anything that breaks down on the property. But normally what you see then is that the base rent is normally a little bit lower.
Right. Because they have to compensate for rent. Correct. Okay.
So that goes back to what we were touching on a little bit earlier with the length of the lease, right? So if you have at least that's for 15, 20 years, or sometimes even like your McDonald's or your franchises, mm-hmm. they go up to 99 years land lease.
Wow.
So now you can count on this money for that period of time.
Exactly.
Because it's a net lease for a long time. Yes. So that's what investors yep. are looking for. So that goes back to having your finances, right?
Yep.
In a good health. So like that, you can show this like, hey, okay, we have this tenant or this anchor tenant that has a 20, 30 year lease. Mm-hmm. And this is the base rent.
I love it.
Isn't that so cool?
I have a friend who's been looking for a lot for a CVS or something like that. So that. Now that all makes sense. Yes. Okay. I'm understanding better now. Now, what, Julio, in your opinion, mm-hmm. which lease terms do you push hardest to negotiate right now?
So again, it all depends on what's the concept, okay. as we call it in there. What's important to the client? Like sometimes we could try to negotiate some TI,
which is a
tenant improvement.
Oh,
so now,
like we're doing here at the office.
Yes. Yeah. So when you have a longer lease from the tenant side, you have a little bit of leverage on your side.
Right.
You have a little bit of power of negotiating with your landlord because you're like, hey, I'm going to be here for 10, 15 years. How much money are you willing to put on the table so I could fix this place for myself? So sometimes they'll come back and say like, you know what? We'll give you, you know, XYZ amount as tenant improvement allowance.
Yeah.
So they could come in and use that money to accommodate the area for their use.
Exactly.
At the owner's expense.
Literally what we're doing here.
Yes.
At the office. Yes. If you come to Keller Williams South Park right now, it is a mess. Because we were able to negotiate, we needed more space, et cetera. So now they're doing everything for us.
Yes, absolutely.
We're renting this place, yeah. Yes.
So those are the caveats when negotiating yeah. and the things to know as well. You want to make sure that your escalations as well.
Okay.
And you want to, like on a year to year, you're going to have your escalations. So if you have a longer term, you might be able to have a lower escalations, right?
Yeah.
Instead of you having a smaller term with higher escalations. So it all depends. Again, you want to make sure that it suits the need of your concept. Yep. Is it going to suit the need for what I need? And is it going to make financial sense?
I love mm-hmm. that. Now, for owners, what clauses protect the building's value when you go to sell it, especially around tenant defaults and expense pass-throughs?
So you want to... Okay, so when you're the owner of the property, you want to make sure that, again, like your triple net, you're passing along that those expenses to the tenant in this case, right?
Yeah.
So like that, you're off hands with that, right? It protects you from having to have that responsibility all the time of making sure that the taxes are paid or making sure that, you know, the properties will maintain, because now you're hands off with that.
Right.
Net. So it's their responsibility to make sure that the property stays aligned with, you know, the codes and anything that they do on there. So
okay.
that would be one of the major things. Yep. And in assignment control, if you can't do it yourself, hire someone, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you're keeping that property at its top production, right? When it comes to the building structure, you want to make sure that it stays sound throughout those years, because that's what's going to guarantee your property at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. This is so interesting. Now, lease length strategy. When does a shorter term increase flexibility, and when does it reduce the valuation because buyers hate rollover risk?
So it goes back to what we were saying, right? A longer lease brings more security.
Yeah.
Right? So a shorter lease brings potentially less security, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to renew that lease, right? So,
right.
Or is that tenant open to renewing? What are the terms in the lease for that, right? So that's what are the aspects that you want to make sure that they align, to make sure that you're not running through, you know, those risks.
Okay. Now, tenant improvement allowance, the TIA. What is realistic in 2026, and how do you keep the TIA from becoming a fight at a build out?
Again, you want to have leverage.
Okay.
When you're coming into the table and negotiating, you want to make sure that what you're asking for makes sense for the landlord as well, right? Or
right.
if you're the landlord, that it makes sense for the tenant. You don't want to come in offering either too much or too low. That's why it's good and important to see the finance from a landlord perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see the tenant's financing and his history of his business to understand, okay, if I give you XYZ and TI, mm-hmm. Can I ensure that you're going to stay here for, you know, the next 10 or 15-year term that we make.
Exactly. I'm right? putting all this effort, right. but I want to make sure that you're right. not going to go anywhere.
Right. And yeah. then by the end of that lease, is that allowance going to help the landlord? Because sometimes they might want to keep that concept. Let's say if you build a, you know, office retail and you're able to convert it into a restaurant, mm-hmm. now you have grease traps, now you have
yep.
gas lines and all of that. So now it's like, okay, as me as a landlord, do I want to make the switch into that type of retail? Mm-hmm. And then if I do, okay, how much allowance am I willing to put? But then from the tenant perspective is, okay, I'm going to give you a 20-year lease.
Exactly.
So at the end,
so make it right for me so that I can stay here.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you can always negotiate that, how much of TI you're getting and how much you're not. Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It's super cool.
Coming up in our final segment, I'm so sad we only have one more to go. Where investors are buying right now, why certain asset types are hot, and what we should be evaluating before you make a move.
So
we'll be right back. I'm going to cut you off because we're going to go on commercial right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be right back. Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. If you don't want to miss a second of the show or any Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand, whenever and wherever you want. You can grab the free Now Media TV app or Roku or iOS for instant access to the bilingual lineup. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen anytime at nowmedia.tv. From business to lifestyle to culture, Now Media TV is here 24/7. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica on our final segment. I am here with Julio Gomez, and now I want the investor view. What's moving? What's risky? What is the smartest next play in 2026? So I'll ground this in what's happening locally. Charlotte, North Carolina continues to see major development activity, and growth creates opportunity. But it also changes underwriting assumptions fast. Investors are still leaning into sectors with durable demand and strong tenant fundamentals. Julio, what types of commercial properties are investors calling you about the most right now, and why those specifically?
So something that we're seeing right now most popular is going to be your retail.
Retail,
okay. Retail and your industrial, because again, it creates that stability, right? Bringing stability, that's why an investor is always going to come.
Okay.
Income stability. So when you have retail, especially with the right lease in place, like we talked previously, mm-hmm. it's going to attract them, right? And then retail is an easy way to get into the commercial world as well with the industrial.
Okay. So give me examples for somebody who doesn't know much about commercial. Give me an example of what retail would be. What kind of stores are we talking about?
Your grocery stores, your beauty salons, your restaurants, those are going to be your retails. And then your industrials are going to be your warehouses where you're having like logistics and
okay.
things like that working out of there for sure. Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, retail. What is the difference between debt retail and durable retail in 2026 underwriting?
So it kind of goes in line what I was mentioning. Grocery stores, right? Those anchor tenants. That's
okay.
going to be your retail. That's going to be a strong suit for you because, again, that's going to guarantee the business for the surrounding areas, right? So if you could get a place where you could have a strong grocery store, mm-hmm. that's going to be strong. You're going to have your restaurants as well. Those are going to be a little bit more stable. Now your dead one is, again, it's outdated, right? Your outdated
okay.
buildings. We got to bring them up to date. You got to read the room, as we say, right?
Read the room.
You got to know what's going on in your zone, what's going on in your area. Maybe it's that time to change use, right? Is it adapting still to what you're doing in the areas that you're in, right? So those are most of the things that you want to keep in mind in that case.
Okay. Now, industrial warehouse. What's driving the attention and what red flags do you check before you call it a good deal?
So you're going to look at your logistics. You're going to look at your e-commerce, your distribution centers. Those are going to be the ones that are always going to stand out, especially with e-commerce now.
Okay, explain that, please.
So the e-commerce is your Amazon.
Okay.
Right, so you have
taking
Amazon,
over the world.
Right, you have your Amazon warehouse where they store all the products and the merchandise, and then they distribute from there. So the same thing for a smaller shop. So somebody that's not as big, maybe you have an online business.
Okay.
Where are you storing all this stuff? How are you packing it? Where are you sending it? Right. So that those distribution centers as well are going to be the ones that you want to keep in mind. Now, when looking at this and the red flags that you want to make sure is you always got to look at location.
Okay.
Right. Location is always key because you want to have easy access to your highways, you know, and make sure that the 18-wheelers can come in and, you know, pull the
right.
merchandise. So in the building as well, you want to know the height of the building.
Yes.
You know, your average 10-foot ceilings are not going to work.
Yeah.
You might need a 15, right? Because inside you're going to have your forklifts that
yeah.
are going to be driving around and moving merchandise, and merchandise is going to yeah. be up to the ceiling. So those are things that you want to take into account when doing that.
Okay.
And then the 18-wheeler anchors as well, where they pull
yes.
tours to actually.
That's where they back up to a little opening and then
yeah.
they get loaded. And
correct.
Then, okay.
So those are little things that you don't know how important it is until you're in. So
until you're
you
in,
want
yes.
to make sure that those things are in line before you get the property for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, for a first-time investor, are smaller buildings actually safer or do they carry hidden management risk, in your opinion?
So, a smaller building is going to be good for somebody to start in.
Okay.
Right? You are going to have a lot more hands-on management because it being a smaller building. But once you're ready, you can always transition to something bigger or liquidate, buy something a little bit nicer, do a 1031 exchange. We'll talk about that.
We've talked about it on our shows previously.
Have
so
you?
If you've seen other
Same.
Episodes,
yes.
we've talked about 1031 exchange.
So
but yes.
Two 1031s. But yes, I always say, get your foot in the door, right? Get a small, you're going to be a little bit more hands-on, but I appreciate a little bit hands-on, depending on
yeah.
where you are and if you have done business before or not, because now you can understand the industry and how it works. And then once you're ready, if you want to transition to something bigger, then you always can. The market's always waiting for you.
Yes, it is. Now, for a first time, now I'm very curious. If I were consulting with you and I'm interested in investing in commercial real estate, what are some of the types of commercial real estate that you recommend for a first-time investor? Like, we're talking about different types, either mm-hmm. retail or something completely different, or in your opinion.
So I gotta say that it goes back to what's your plan.
Okay.
Right? It's not just about investing. What's the ultimate goal at the end of the day?
I want to retire. I want to make money and not have to worry about it. And I want to have a steady income forever.
You can, I mean,
in a perfect world.
now the roles, as you see, they transition, as we were talking earlier, right? So what you're looking for, income stability.
Yep.
Right? Longer terms, right?
Yep.
With a proper lease, right?
I want a CVS for 90 years.
Yeah, correct. So
yes.
depending on what price bracket we're talking about, then that would adapt to the strategy. So let's say if you have, it's not going to be the same an investment of $500,000 than if we're talking about $100 million.
Right.
So what's the purpose of the investment and what's our budget for it?
Okay.
You know, that's going to determine which investment you're going to do and
okay.
for how long. But normally, just to say something, your retails are always going to be good. Like you have medical offices.
Okay.
If you have like a medical condo that you can buy, and that, normally those tenants are going to stay there for a long time.
Right.
And
yeah.
with the possibility that they might even want to buy you out after 10 years.
Yeah, which is beautiful.
Which is great.
Yeah.
At that time, you might want to liquidate or transition to something else as
yeah.
well. And the cool thing about commercial is that you can get into any, and if you have that cap rate looking good,
yeah,
you could always sell.
You can always sell.
You
exactly.
can always sell and then transition to something else and do that 1031 exchange. So
yes.
don't be afraid of being locked in, because investors are always looking to invest, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's what
now, in compare, now I can't, I know that this is going to be a very newbie question on commercial real estate, because when we talk about residential, we're talking about a percentage of a down payment when you get a loan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are loans for a commercial investment completely different? It's a completely different scenario. Is this a question that we should be talking about on the show?
Yeah, sure. I could touch briefly on it just to give a general idea on it. So all loans are going to have the same backbones, right?
Yep.
But in commercial, they're looking more to the credibility of the person getting the loan or the business getting the loan than what your credit history looks like.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Because what's going to guarantee that you're going to pay me back? Now, I'm trusting that you're going to operate this business appropriately.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And that you're going to run it. So how can you prove that to me on your business history? How long have you been doing it?
Okay.
How much money are you producing? So that's what lenders are looking at when you're doing a business loan.
Okay.
In comparison to just a personal loan or mortgage, right?
So
you want to make sure that you could bring to the table enough credibility for them to actually want to give you the loan and have enough history in the industry or understanding of the industry that they feel comfortable in saying, you know what? He knows what he's doing. Let's give this guy this money, right?
Okay. That answers my question. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
What is your deal truth checklist before buying? So cap rate versus cost of debt, tenant credit, lease rollover, deferred maintenance, environmental zoning risk. What are the things that you look at before, when you're helping somebody to buy something and say, okay, this is a checklist, it has met the requirements?
Yes, I think this goes for both sides.
Yep.
And I think you hit on a few of them as well. Either if you're selling it or you're buying it, you want to know these things. What's the zoning, right? Again, are we marketing our property for the best use, right? So like that we could get the most out of it. What's the cap rate? Because the cap rate is going to, and okay, how can we price this property? The same thing if I'm buying it. I want to know what the cap rates look like on this property to make sure that it's, you know, a healthy investment. What are the lease terms, right? What am I getting into? And for how long?
Yep. So many things. So many things to look at that you need to make sure they align.
Yes, yes.
Because if one is off, I'm guessing that it can be a domino effect and the whole deal.
It could be. That's why it's mostly important to build a strategy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, commercial, it's not a black and white. There's a lot of gray in between. And you want to make sure that it's aligning with your goals as well as what the business can do and cannot do.
Okay.
Right. And always location as well is a huge one. And that's why we do normally a market study for our clients. So we do a market study to understand the demographic and what's going on and what's happening and what's going to happen in the next 5, 10, 15 years in that area too.
Exactly.
It's important to know.
That's where the magic is with the professionals.
Yes.
Again, real quick before we end the show, Julio, thank you so much for being on
here.
My
pleasure.
How can people contact you if they want to say, listen, I need a strategy. I don't want to guess. How can people get a hold of you?
Like I said, I'm very personable. Give me a call. Give me a call or text me, whatever is easiest for you. If you see I don't answer, I am not ignoring you. Just send me a text message. Leave
me. I'm kidding.
Oh my God, she's terrible.
I am.
Leave me a voicemail. Just make sure that I know who it is and why you're contacting me for, right? And I am more than happy to answer any questions to guide you. I promise you, if I don't know something, I know who does. So I'll always find out that for you. And you can reach me at 980-800-3891.
I love it. This has been so much fun. You made commercial real estate feel clear and actionable. And I walked away with a lot of information that I'm going to be following up with him too. So thank you, Julio, for coming on to the show. Please make sure you watch our show again. Remember, it's every Friday on Now Media TV, Home Story with Veronica. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
This was amazing.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.